Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, which can be found on page 1697 in your pew Bibles. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Jesus Christ will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced as for you of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I will now also read from Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, which can be found on page 1704 in your pew Bibles. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir above all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Not surprisingly, the Bible continues to be the best-selling, not only religious book, but book of all time. I checked some statistics and noted that the most recent statistics say that the Bible has been translated into 736 languages, the whole Bible. The New Testament alone has been translated into 1,658 languages. There are parts of the Bible that are translated into over 3,000 different languages, and it's currently being translated into hundreds more. And there are 6 to 7 billion copies of the Bible that have been printed. You know, I look at that and I think, that's kind of cool. I'm proud of our book. And our book has always been at the center of who we are as Reformed Christians. Historically, like we have here, there's been a pulpit front and center with a Bible on or in front of where the podium for preaching happens. And often in churches, it was elevated somewhat so that the sacraments would be a step lower to show that the sacraments come out of the Word, and the music, whatever musical instruments that might be a step lower than that yet to show that also comes out of the Word, but not at the level of the sacraments. But always central was the Word. But while the Bible may be central to our faith, statistics also identify that it's not always so central to our reading. In fact, Bible knowledge among those who profess the Christian faith is pretty low. And over the years of my ministry, I've noticed increasing reports from elders that in their visits and talking with individuals or with families, identify that it's hard for many of us to find or to make time to actually sit down and read the Bible, even if we might read other books about faith. And I think that deserves a second look, especially given where we find ourselves as a church and as churches in this time, and as we begin a new season. But let me go a little deeper. Over the last while, as we've discussed over the years that I've been in ministry, some of the issues that have been facing our church and our denomination, and as we've had that in the past over creation science and over women's ordination, I've been surprised at the number of times I hear strong opinions on differing perspectives, and then discover that there always hasn't always been strong engagement and wrestling with the text itself. Always that danger there that we might form an opinion and bring it to the Bible rather than having it shaped by wrestling with the Bible and with each other. And of course, it's not to say that many of us do. I don't know that. I'm just noting that over the years I've been surprised at the number of times that's come out. And foundational to that is the matter of how much we actually read the Bible, not just about issues. How much we engage Scripture, not just to wrestle with certain issues, but simply because it is God's Word to us. Because I think that's central to what it means to be a church or what it means to have unity. It was interesting that we talked about that a little at our HSR, that's the Human Sexuality Report, our HSR ad hoc committee this past week. And we asked the question, so what is unity? Is it when we all arrive at the same position on something, or is it something broader? And one of the pieces that came out is that unity is not simply about shared interpretations, but it's about who we are together. And part of that is how we are united in something like the spiritual disciplines. Well, knowing what I was going to be speaking on this morning, I thought, right on. Because today we're looking at the discipline of Scripture. And what I want to suggest is that with the right understanding of Scripture and its place among us, what we are looking at as a starting point is not, first of all, a unity of interpretation. What we need to pursue is a unity of submission to the Word. And what we would want to know of each other is not, first of all, what my opinion might be on some matter, but you would want to know my posture, what role God's Word plays in my life, and what role I play in God's Word. Let me say a bit why. The first thing we say about the Bible is that it is God's Word. That includes the Old Testament, which it helps to remember was the Bible for Jesus, and it is for us. And the New Testament is also God's Word, as we heard Malia read from 2 Timothy 3. The Bible is not just a collection of thoughts from early Christians. It's not just some early church letters that we get to listen in on. It's God's Word to us through people who God inspired. Scripture is God-breathed. And as we read, it's able to make someone wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And we read further that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Which echoes what you find in Ephesians 2, that says we are saved by grace through faith and created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And out of that all, the church confesses two things. The Bible is God's Word and is everything we need sufficient for salvation. Its overarching purpose is God's intent to redeem us, to make us his people in Jesus Christ, as we celebrate again a little later. And secondly, as the Word of God, it's a sufficient rule for life. And every profession of faith in the Christian Reformed Church includes pointing to that understanding. We may not all be agreed on how to understand every part of this rule for life or how it applies, but we confess it is the Word of God for redemption and living in faith. Now, we're still not where I want to go, but bear with me. One more passage I want to bring in. And that's Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13, which says this: "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Now you think about that description. Alive and active. God's Word is different than a book you read from the library. A library book might evoke emotion. It might evoke certain kind of thinking or reflection. But you wouldn't call a library book living and active. But not only is the Bible living and active, it penetrates you. It judges your thoughts. It judges your attitudes. The Bible is a book that when you engage it, it somehow engages you. When you read it, it reads you back. The Bible is not just a book for information, not just something you analyze a little and pick up every now and then. God wants to communicate with us. God has from the beginning, and that's why when after the Garden of Eden, when there was no more walking or talking with Adam and Eve there, then God spoke through the prophets. And it wasn't just to convey information. It was to connect. It was to live out what it means to be a covenant family with our God and we with his people. To engage. The Bible is living and active. When you engage it, it engages you. That's the point. But there's a key to that. A piece that underlines God's intent to be involved and to engage and to help us engage. You find it in places like Ephesians 1, verse 17, where Paul writes this: "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, where we read, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." And I know I, every once in a while, need to be reminded of that. When I might be reading or studying God's Word, we don't just read the Bible like words on a page. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit. We have said from years and years and years ago, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to help us understand. That's what Scripture points to. It's a spiritual exercise or discipline. That's why we pray for the Holy Spirit's guidance before we read it as Pastor Bob did again this morning. Not just because it's a thoughtful gesture or a tip of the hat to God, but because we need the Holy Spirit to understand what we read, to work with us, to be a part of this engaging. That's a bunch of information in a shorter sermon on a Sunday when we celebrate communion. But what for me is incredibly important, because it needs to remind us of the importance of the Word of God, not just in our history, but now. That the Word of God is living and active. That God calls us to read it spiritually in prayer. That God's desire is not just that we consult it to figure out some rules, but that we engage with the God who wants to engage with us. And when I think of that in terms of what it means for us to be a community of believers and what it means to look for unity, I think unity doesn't come by first assessing where we all stand with regards to some conclusion on any issue. Unity comes first in together submitting to the Word of God as an exercise in communion. Not having or knowing all the answers, but committed to engaging with God, His Word and Spirit. And you see, then I want to challenge us. If you are not already doing that, I want to challenge us to read heartily. That we pursue a unity of submission in engaging this living and active Word, not simply to look for some answers or apply our opinions, but to engage with God and let God's Spirit work in us beyond simply trying to find some conclusions. In fact, I would be so bold as to say that if we can't or we don't do that, I have much less hope and expectation that God can guide us as a community beyond grouping around some conclusions, as we tend to do in our Reformed history. I don't know where all that will lead, but I believe it's what God calls us to do, what God calls you to do and us to do, and where we need to be together. In my own personal life, it's my goal to read through the Bible every year. Takes a bit of reading in the morning. Sometimes I fall behind and then I catch up. And I always begin that reading time with a time of quiet prayer, simply to listen and to remind myself that I'm there to hear what God might say through His Word and Spirit to me. And I don't do it just because I think, well, it's a good thing to do. After all, I'm a minister. But because I am a follower of Jesus. And as your pastor, I want to engage with the God I love and in whose name I serve and whose Word I desire to know and to bring. And I invite all of us to grow in that, if that's an area that we need to grow. Maybe not read through the Bible every year, but find a plan that will take you through it regularly. Finding not only a reading plan, but perhaps a reading or accountability partner, or start a group. Taking a course in a Bible book to investigate more deeply into what is God's Word saying. Regular worship attendance. Small group study of God's Word and opportunities like we have here. Family Bible reading, maybe after supper in the evening, even when things can be a little rushed. All of us intentionally being engaged by God through His Word because we want the engagement with God. Which brings me to the last point. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He's spoken to us through His Son. The Word made flesh. The Word who came as one of us to redeem us and to lead us and to be with us. Who gave us a supper where we engage that Word. Where we take Christ in. Union with Christ and with each other. Recognizing that God wants communion. The Word of God. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a bestseller. Or if we have it in our homes in even more than one language. It doesn't matter how big our pulpit is or where it might be located on a stage. What matters is how we engage the Word of God and invite God to engage us. What matters is a posture of desiring God, a unity of submission, if you will. The Word of God for the people of God. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know we have confessions about it, we have songs about it, we have thoughts about it, but we know that your word from the beginning is about engaging with us and having us engage with you. Thank you for that reminder. And for those of us who know how valuable and important that is in our lives, we say thank you. And for those of us who may be reminded this morning or encouraged or even prodded to think about what it means to submit to your word and to its reading and engagement, we pray that you will help us do that. But especially, Lord, pray that in this act of unity in submission, we may find that we're not simply trying to figure some things out here or even individually or come to answers, though of course we would want that too. But that we are looking for a posture together that says we care about you, and we would then even ask you to surprise us, that as we submit to your word, as we listen and read and engage with you and with each other, that you would surprise us by leading us in ways that we might not otherwise think. And so we pray that you will follow your word with your blessing. As we sing of that now and as we celebrate of that shortly, we ask that you hear us in the name of Christ. Amen.